Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello. Welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen. See what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
So we're about to begin negotiations on a free trade agreement, which will be great. Absolutely great. Yeah. But some people want to try and delay our exit from Europe. What do you think about that?
Well, no, let's get on with it. Let's do these deals, man. That's what we got out of Europe for.
Our very good friend Femi from Our Future, Our Choice, joins us this evening. Femi, good evening to you. So what do you think about this? I mean, you were one of the leading lights to keep us in the European Union. You did do everything you could to keep us there. Didn't quite work. What do you think about this latest wish by some people to extend our time before we leave?
I think that's the smart thing to do. I mean, we clearly have other stuff going on right now, and they haven't exactly devoted their full energy to negotiating this deal. Let's not forget that it took us 3.5 years to negotiate a trade deal that only lasted these 12 months until December, and now we're supposed to negotiate something permanent between now and October 31st this year. Logic says that we're not going to get that done. Not on top of that, the sort of zero tariff deal that we originally planned to get, the EU has said, well, no, it's actually in the deal that we signed, the Brexit deal. That would have to come with rules to make sure there's no unfair competition, and the UK is refusing to abide by any such rules, which means we're going to end up with a no deal. So,
well, I think what the EU wanted was to have as much access to our fishing as they have now, and I think that was one of the main, not the main, but one of the main reasons that people voted to leave the European Union.
Well, one of the reasons that places like Grimsby, one of the biggest employers there in the fish industry, actually asked for an exemption for Grimsby after Brexit, after the referendum in 2016, is because half of all the fish that are caught by UK fishing boats are sold to the EU. And right now they're sold tariff-free, zero quotas or anything like that, no restrictions. If there's a no-deal Brexit, under international law, WTO rules, the EU has to put tariffs on every single one of those fish. So that should be massively damaging for the fishing industry in the UK to, quote, take back control.
But if we have a free trade deal, they wouldn't have to do that, would they?
If we have a free trade deal, then we wouldn't have to. No, they wouldn't have to put tariffs on it. We'd have a trade deal.
That's all we're asking, a free trade deal with everything as we've had before. It's just the rules and regulations that they like to impose. Insist on most things.
They don't do it with other countries. Our free trade deals, they don't go, you've got to take our laws, or you've got to, you know, we want some of your they don't do that with anyone else.
No.
Well, that's the thing. If you look at any other country that's not in the EU but is in Europe, i.e. close to the EU and therefore more of a competitor, you look at Norway, Liechtenstein, Switzerland, Turkey. They're all bound to principles of the EU. Norway's in the single market. Switzerland is practically in the customs union. Turkey is in the customs union. And if you're close to, you're a bigger threat, you're a bigger competitor. And in all of those, there are shared rules. So if the EU were to have a free trade deal with us with zero tariffs, if UK businesses didn't have to follow the same rules of the EU, UK businesses would be at a competitive advantage over EU businesses. It would actually be not in their interest to allow that to happen unless we have rules attached. That's
well, most
the situation
of,
right now.
Yeah, most of the rules and regulations are around standards. And as far as I can see, most of the standards that the EU impose, we do better than.
No, that's not the case. There are several areas where we do better than that than them, but that's because one of the basic principles of the EU is that they set common minimum standards for all EU countries to follow. The countries could just have to stay above that. So yes, there'll be many areas where we are above it, but there are some areas where we're pretty much on the line. And especially as Boris Johnson has specifically said that he wants to be able to, he doesn't want to be forced to match the EU standards on the environment and social affairs. The EU is very concerned that if they did give us a zero tariff deal, we would be undercutting their own businesses.
Femi, good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. Femi Olwali, who is the organiser of Our Future, Our Choice.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Now we're going to talk a little bit about coronavirus because apparently a new life-saving drug has proved to be pretty good. It's called dexamethasone. Is that right?
Dexamethasone. Dexamethasone. Dexamethasone.
Yeah, anyway. Dr. Elisabetta Grappelli has joined us now. She's a virologist and a lecturer in global health at St. George's University in London. Doctor, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, James. Thank you very much.
But this one has been used for quite some time for different things, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I am Italian, so I do struggle with lots of English words. And this, the name of this drug, definitely is at the top of my list. So I'll do my best. But yes, dexamethasone is a drug that has been used in the clinic for almost 60 years. And it's used for a variety of conditions like asthma or rheumatoid arthritis. But basically those conditions where there is an overdrive of the immune system is a trigger. They trigger a lot of inflammation, and so that inflammation needs to be brought down, and this drug is able to do that.
And it's cheap as chips because it's been around so long, but originally they thought it would be bad because it would lower your immunity, but once you've already got it, it's a great benefit, isn't it?
Absolutely. In terms of being cheap, that's a good thing about being an older drug, because it means that it's out of patent. So it can be manufactured quickly and as a generic drug. Yeah. And of course, when it comes to viral infection, there is that interplay between the virus and the host, which is us, and us, especially our immune system. And normally, yes, we do want our immune system to have a nice, good response against the virus, so to battle it, to conquer it. However, sometimes when the immune system goes into an overdrive, it actually causes more damage actually to the host, to us. I'm just going to put it this way, just to think about it in very, very simplistic terms. You know, I like to have a hot bath, and then, you know, the hotter the better, yes, up to a point, okay? At some point, it's going to get too hot, it's going to scorch me. And that's a little bit like the immune system.
So you're attacked by your own immune system if it's too good. Yeah.
Absolutely. It goes and then it generates this inflammation and lots of cell death starts occurring. And so there is more damage than actually doing good.
And you get organ failure, don't you? That's how you get the organ failure.
That is, yes, absolutely. And this, obviously, when it comes to, obviously, respiratory distress, especially in COVID patients, this is where the patients do require to be put on oxygen or even on ventilation. So it is in very severe cases where this drug is having a nice effect.
I mean, in a similar way, now if you have cancer, they use something called immunotherapy, which is it's very, very clever, but it actually gets the body to turn on its own own bits and pieces if you use it too long.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, dexamethasone is used in some cancers because it needs there is the need to reduce inflammation, basically, fundamentally swelling. And so in this sense, modulating the inflammatory response is great. But there is also a much finer high-tech immunotherapy, which is actually that one to sort of use immune molecules called antibodies actually to mark those cancer cells. So because they've been marked in a way that is recognized by our immune system, then it's actually our immune system mopping up the marked cancer cells, which is obviously is really good news.
Could you not use that immunotherapy then on coronavirus?
Well, yes, this is what our bodies tend to do normally. But the problem with that is that we need to have those antibodies able to recognize the virus. And normally this happens because our immune system has seen the virus, either because we've gone through an infection or because we've been vaccinated. However, there is a third way, which is already being used and is trials. And that is the one of taking the plasma, so part of the blood of people who have recovered from coronavirus infection, and it contains the antibodies. And by giving this plasma to a patient, you know, we don't have to wait for those patients to have to make their own antibodies. These marker pens already are there, and therefore they should speed up. We know it works for a few viral infections, and obviously the trials are ongoing to make sure and to see if it actually works with this coronavirus as well.
Dr. Elisabetta Garopelli, what do you think of my accent?
Fantastic, yeah. It's like being in Italy. Yeah.
St. George's University in London. Yeah.
Yeah.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Right. Thunder fever. I've just sent a video of the storm. You have a look at it.
Yeah.
Well, this is what hit where I live today. And we had all the lights went off. The thunder was so horrific. The girls sat on my lap for at least an hour nearly.
Were they terrified? Were they scared?
Yeah, it went on for a long time. Oh, gosh, at least one thing. I don't have to worry about my hay fever. But apparently, asthma sufferers all over the country are being warned about a condition called thunder fever. Yeah, let's talk to Max Weisberg, who is an allergy specialist. Max, good evening.
Good evening. Hi. I'm not actually an allergy specialist. I'm an airborne allergens expert, so it's slightly different. But yeah, I know about the allergens that fly around in the air.
That's interesting, airborne allergens.
Well, I thought every time it rained, it just got rid of the pollen.
Well, everyone thinks that. It's a thing that's been going on for years. And when I was younger, and I've had hay fever all my life, I always thought, what is it? What is it about? I'm supposed to be better off when it rains, and yet every time it rained, my hay fever seemed to get worse.
Is it the static or something? Is it to do with the static?
No, it's actually quite simple. What happens with the pollen? Pollen's obviously airborne. It sort of hangs around in the air. And what happens in the mornings as the pollen gets released by the grass or the trees or whatever, whatever's producing the pollen, and then as the ground warms up, you know, the sun comes out and everything warms up, and of course hot air rises, and so the pollen rises with the hot air, and in the morning time the pollen kind of goes around about head height, and actually that's one of the reasons that one of the tips that people say is try and avoid mornings if it's a high pollen day. And then the air takes it up higher and higher, and then it goes beyond head height and goes up the atmosphere. And then later in the evening, as it cools down, it comes back down again. And again, that's why people say don't wander around too much in the evenings either, because those are when the pollen counts are highest. So it's quite an interesting thing. Now, so in the middle of the day, say, when you've got most of the pollen's a bit higher up in the atmosphere, what happens when it rains is it brings all that pollen back down.
Right.
And so that's why you can end up with more hay fever when it rains.
And lightning, doesn't that sort of, that'll make it lift it up, won't it? Won't lightning sort of blow it up a bit, pollen and sort of?
Well, actually, it's not a lightning that makes a difference. So this thunder fever thing is about the storm. So the thunderstorm kind of whips it all up, particularly if it comes with gusts and gales and winds. So it whips it all up. and it takes the pollen higher up into the atmosphere, and it actually takes it up into the clouds. And when it hits the clouds, that's a really moist area. And I mean, these are theories. Nobody really knows this stuff. It's like nobody really knows a lot of stuff about hay fever. We make lots of suggestions because it's really hard to know a lot. But anyway, what happens is it gets up into the clouds. And when it hits the really moist air, for some reason, the pollen particles split. And so, as you can imagine, so the first thing that's happening is you're ending up with more pollen particles.
Because of the cold, it splits, wouldn't that be why?
Yeah. Well, it's the moisture, actually. It's the moisture that splits it.
But I didn't think it was moist up there, particularly in the
clouds. You can't get more moist than a cloud.
Yeah, it's quite wet in the clouds.
It's the moistest thing there is, a cloud.
Yeah.
Well, whenever I've driven through them in a plane, they look quite sort of dry.
No, fluffy and lovely. You're well protected in a place.
They're thousands of tons, aren't they, clouds?
Yes, yeah.
Thousands of tons of water.
So anyway,
go on.
It's all that wetness that splits them. But the other thing about that is when you've immediately upped the pollen count because they've all loads of these things have split. But in addition, those pollen particles that are split are far more. It's like a super pollen. They're more allergenic than a normal pollen particle.
Because they can get in more nooks and crannies.
Well, that's right, they're smaller, so they can get into your lungs and get lodged in the lungs. And then what happens next is, of course, the air cools and all of that pollen gets shoved back down to the ground, and that's when it hits us, and we have what's been called thunder fever, because it goes a bit mad. Mm.
Listen, Max, that's been fascinating talking to you, and I'm sure we'll talk again. For the moment, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks,
Max Weisberg, that's answered some questions I've been asking for a long, long time.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Basically said, unless you write something mad on the form, like you say your name's Harry Potter, they really probably won't pick up.
I feel sorry if your name is Harry Potter.
Have you been taking happy pills or something?
How did you know that? Are you psychic?
I just get a feeling, that's all.
I'm giving an interview for the World Service on radio, James. So
why bother with the BBC? I just don't understand, do you?
Well, they have nice nibbles, don't they?
He said nobody really needs to earn over $100,000 a year.
What?
That should be everybody's goal. Oh, well, I know you weren't.
How can you survive on anything? What can you do with that?
What on the ball. Is this rubbish?
Football. Football.
By the way, who's Simon?
Simon is my lovely neighbour from Gloucester.
Age is just a number.
That's what I tell him, but he gets upset, you know what I mean? It's just a number, but some numbers are large and some numbers are small.
Now, you've heard about the green glow on the red planet.
Oh, yeah, the green glow on the red planet.
You haven't.
No, I haven't. No, you're right. What's that all about, man?
And, of course.
What?
And, of course.
And, of course.
No, it said James Whale on Talk Radio.
And, of course, Ash.
That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale. Sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.